This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. The Jeffrey Epstein scandal continues to grow. There are swirling questions about Donald Trump's connections to Epstein, and now there are signs of a mounting cover-up to keep that information from getting public. I spoke earlier today with Barry Levine about this. He is the author of The Spider, Inside the Criminal Web of Jeffrey Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell.
I spent several years researching Jeffrey Epstein's orbit and the famous and powerful people around him. Certainly, Trump was one of those individuals. They had a 15-year relationship that ended in 2004 over a real estate deal in Palm Beach, Florida. But in the years preceding that, there's many photos of them partying together, hanging out. And while Trump has never been the subject of a criminal investigation related to Jeffrey Epstein, there have been some women who have come forward with some scandalous stories. During the 2024 campaign, a model came out and said that she was groped by Mr. Trump in Jeffrey Epstein's presence in the early 90s. At Trump's campaign at the time denied that. The New York Times this past week published an interview with Maria Farmer, one of Epstein's most prominent victims, and she said that she alerted the FBI to look into Mr. Trump as an associate of Jeffrey Epstein at least twice, back in the 90s and again in the 2000s, or around 2019 at the time of the new federal investigation against Epstein. So, you know, it's the million-dollar question as to could there be embarrassing material about President Trump in the files? And did this cause the sudden turn after we were all promised by his attorney general, Pam Bondi, that she was going to release all the material with the exception of redactions about victims and possible third parties? So, you know, it's mind-boggling as to why they made this about face and whether or not, if they ever do release the files, if we might learn more about President Trump and his past 15-year relationship with Jeffrey Epstein.
Looking at these back and forths as the story has developed, there's been a lot of contradictions. One story that we've heard of, an assistant with Epstein's office. She was a young woman, and she was in the office. She said Donald Trump was there and that he was staring at her legs. And she reported that in testimony that it made her feel uncomfortable. And that had come out. And now the White House said Donald Trump definitely had never been in Epstein's office. Does that sound true to you?
Well, that is what I was saying in my previous comment. That woman, Maria Farmer, who made those allegations to the New York Times, and in fact, I included those allegations in my book some years back because that information had been out in the public domain. Although now it's taken on a more heightened sense of interest because of the scandal that's going on right now. Now, this is still a fluid situation. For what it's worth, Jeffrey Epstein's only sibling, his brother Mark, said on CNN last night that when he was asked about that particular story, and Donald Trump's spokesperson said he had never been in Jeffrey Epstein's office, Mark Epstein, Jeffrey Epstein's brother, said no. In fact, Donald Trump had been in Jeffrey Epstein's office. So we have a conflict here in terms of, you know, who might be telling the truth, whether it's Trump's spokesperson or whether it is this woman who made the allegations and which are now being substantiated a little bit by Jeffrey Epstein's brother. So, you know, I think as time goes on, hopefully we'll see some real facts. And until we see the black and white evidence that could be in the Epstein files, if they're ever released, we may never know the answers to some of these questions.
The FBI and Pam Bondi, Attorney General, say there are no videotapes. There is no client list. I've interviewed one survivor of the Epstein situation. She says there were definitely videotapes that he and kept meticulous files. What is your take on that?
Well, my take on it, in having interviewed many victims for the course of my book, and also poring over court testimony and police reports, that there's absolutely videotape. We know that, in fact, I can tell you this story. Jeffrey Epstein was friendly with in Palm Beach with the local police department there, the police department that actually ended up investigating him in 2004 or 2005 and basically opened up his criminality for the first time. But in fact, a few years before, Jeffrey Epstein alerted the police and told them that he suspected that some of his employees who were in his worked out of his mansion might have been taking things, stealing things. So he asked the police, could you help me install a surveillance hidden camera system in my home, videotape system in his home? And in fact, the police helped him do that. So we know that Jeffrey Epstein had secret surveillance recordings, not only in his home in Palm Beach, Florida, but also his townhouse mansion in New York City, along with his homes in the ranch in New Mexico and his home that he had in Paris, France. Jeffrey Epstein was always into keeping possible blackmail on his friends and associates. And part of that blackmail had to do with secret videotape surveillance that he had. And of course, I should mention, he had an elaborate taping system at his home in the Virgin Islands, where a lot of the criminality took place.
They say those videotapes may have been key to how Epstein was able to acquire his wealth.
Well, you know, these are still questions that we don't know. And I'm hoping in the 300 gigabytes of material that the FBI is sitting on, not only in terms of documents, but in terms of physical evidence, photographs and video, that we might learn a little bit more, certainly, about this.
Mark Epstein, the brother of Jeffrey, he tells a story when he was on Jeffrey's airplane along with Donald Trump and Jeffrey Epstein, that Jeffrey Epstein asked Trump, oh, you know, why do you sleep with so many married women? And Trump's answer is because it's so wrong. So we have that story from Mark saying that, yeah, they were together and they would talk in a way that was very close.
Well, listen, I before I did my book on Jeffrey Epstein, I did a book on Donald Trump during his first term in office called All the President's Women, Donald Trump and the Making of a Predator. So I'm very familiar with his history with women. And not only did he have numerous affairs, but of course, there's at least two dozen accusations by women going back from the 1970s of allegations against him of groping and other sexual abuse. And we do know that in the famous E. Jean Carroll case, civil court case in New York City, in the past few years, that he was liable for sexual abuse to E. Jean Carroll to the tune of $80 million. So I certainly believe that. I also know that Donald Trump, one of his, you might call it a kink, according to people around him, was the fact that he liked to sleep with the wives of friends, if you can believe that. So there's a lot there, and certainly that allegation made by Jeffrey Epstein's brother, I do believe.
Why do you think this story won't go away?
If Donald Trump, if there is no embarrassing details about him or associates of his, that and they had released the files in full, as they said, it might have made headlines for a week or so, but probably would have gone away. The fact that they teased the release of these files for so long, and then they went through that caper in which they invited conservative influencers to the White House and presented them with binders that they showed to reporters, calling it the first phase of the release of Epstein files, which turned out to be material that we already knew. Had they not continued to tease the public that we would be getting our hands on complete transparency of these files, and then to turn around and just issue a, you know, page and a half memo over the 4th of July holiday weekend saying there's no client list, there's no blackmail, Jeffrey Epstein died by suicide in his jail cell, and there's nothing else to see, and that warranted that there won't be a release of any material, that it has just infuriated the public, the American public. Not only that, it's a slap in the face to Jeffrey Epstein's victims, been traumatized by their involvement with him for decades now, and that trauma is still very real.
Barry Levine is the author of The Spider Inside the Criminal Web of Jeffrey Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell. When we come back from the break, we open up the phones. We're going to hear more about the Epstein scandal and how it's shaking up MAGA in Washington, D.C. We'll be right back.
Support for the Source Podcast comes from UT Health San Antonio, South Texas' largest academic research institution, where what is discovered in its labs translates into life-changing patient care. More at groundbreakingresearch.org.
This is Ashley Alvarado, President and CEO of Texas Public Radio. The recent defunding of public media was a serious blow to TPR and stations across the country. But when we turned to you, you rose to the challenge, and your response was extraordinary. Thanks to your generosity, our emergency fundraising drive was a powerful reminder of the strength of our community. You showed just how deeply you value independent journalism, classical music, and the role TPR plays in bringing us together. Defunded? Yes. Defeated? Never. But our work is far from over. You can still give at tpr.org/resiliency, and every gift strengthens our future. Thank you for being the heart and the hope of TPR.
Welcome to The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. We continue looking at the Jeffrey Epstein scandal and how this has turned into a political scandal that is dragging on Donald Trump with the accusations of a cover-up. We're now joined by Will Sommer. He's the author of Trust the Plan, The Rise of QAnon and the Conspiracy That Reshaped America. He is a writer at The Bulwark, where he writes the False Flag newsletter and reports on conspiratorial subcultures shaping U.S. politics. Our phone lines are open, 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. Will, welcome to The Source.
Thanks for having me.
How is this impacting Trump's base, the MAGA?
Well, they're kind of confused about it. They're divided. I mean, you know, we're now entering week three of this strange backlash that the administration has been receiving ever since the Justice Department closed the case. And I think it's clear that Trump is really out of his element here. I mean, this might be really the only instance where he's been this out of touch with the base for so long. I mean, they were convinced that the Epstein list was going to, you know, Democrats were going to go to prison. It was going to be this huge moment. And then suddenly Trump says, no, and actually, if you believe that, you're dumb. We're moving on. So you can see the administration trying to claw back some of that support. They're sort of trying to do these small things like releasing the grand jury transcripts or interviewing Ghislaine Maxwell. But I think this is a case where, you know, really the both the administration and the president and the GOP have been kind of thrown off balance here.
So we saw in Congress that they had a vote to release the documents, and it went down party lines. Democrats voted, we need to see the documents, and Republican Congress members did not. Now we saw that there was a bipartisan effort to force Congress to do something about releasing the documents, and the Speaker then, you know, shut down Congress to avoid that. Will this impact, will this last? Is this something that voters care about in the home districts of the, of these members of Congress?
I think this is something that it, that does matter to voters. I think particularly both for Republican voters and I think for independent voters who maybe weren't that involved in politics, but were sort of pulled in by the notoriety of this story and the sense that the Trump administration was going to get answers. And instead, they find that Trump is acting very suspiciously as though there's a cover-up or something strange is going on. And so I do think we're already seeing Republican members of the House start to bolt over this and break with the administration. Obviously, so far, it's only been Thomas Massey, who's sort of naturally a contrarian. But, you know, the reason they shut down the House early is because the Mike Johnson, the Speaker, must have a sense that more Republicans would support the bill or support the resolution to see the Epstein files in a way that he can't control.
I mean, everyone's heard the Access Hollywood stuff, you know, where Trump was recorded saying horrible things about grabbing women and he still, you know, won his first presidency. And there's been many, many accusations of him, you know, being a predator with women. Doesn't his base just accept the fact that this is who he is?
Yeah, you know, it is a strange thing. I think the idea of it, and again, you know, we haven't seen any evidence linking President Trump to Jeffrey Epstein's sexual crimes, but we do have some evidence that maybe he knew about it or knew about Epstein's predilections, or that he's just that there's something weird here that we aren't seeing overall. And so, you know, as you say, I mean, we have Trump in the Access Hollywood tape on tape talking about assaulting women. He's been found guilty in the E. Jean Carroll case or found liable. So it is strange. I think they've processed all that stuff and they've accepted that as part of who Trump is, or they come to believe that these were all fabrications against him. But I think when it comes to the idea of this sort of global sex trafficking cabal that they've come to believe Epstein was involved with, that kind of reaches a whole new level that they haven't grappled with yet.
Right. So let's talk about that conspiracy that they have, that this is is that a main driver of QAnon?
Yeah, Epstein was a huge aspect of the QAnon conspiracy theory. Often these conspiracy theories are built on things that are true in some way. And so in the Epstein case, I mean, there were a lot of unanswered questions, and there still are. It is weird how rich Epstein was, seemingly with no explanation. It is weird that he was friends with all these powerful people and that they gave him all this money. And so in that way, QAnon then kind of spun out. And as a result, a lot of Republicans came to believe that top Democrats would be exposed on this mythical Epstein client list, that there would be this huge moment of reckoning where their political enemies would really take it on the chin and probably be exposed as pedophiles. And so that's why there was so much excitement. J.D. Vance, Kash Patel, now the FBI director, all these people said, we've got to see the list. And suddenly the administration says, nope, we're moving on. And that has just, I mean, it looks really suspicious. I think even if we try to avoid speculating on why Trump is acting this way, I think the average person goes, wait a minute, what changed here? And was there something in the files that they don't want to come out? Democratic Senator Dick Durbin says that he heard from the FBI, from people within the FBI, that in the review of the files ahead of their release, they were told, the agents were told, you know, let us know if you see anything that mentions Trump. And the question then being, if those files were flagged, what happened to them? Did the administration cover up mentions of Trump in the files?
Let's go to a caller. We have Randall. Randall, you're on the air. Go ahead.
I don't know if y'all noticed, but somebody threw a tomcat in the center of the House of Representatives, and those mice scattered. They left. They left on their 2-week or 4-week, whatever. They do not want to deal with this thing. But is this stuff for real? Is there really something there? Will David and I get to see this stuff in our lifetimes? Or is this something maybe our grandchildren will see when these documents are declassified by President Justin Bieber in the year 2057?
Well, we can only talk about what we know and what are the facts. And I think the dominating facts that we need to highlight this is that Donald Trump has not been accused by any law enforcement agency of doing anything illegal along with Jeffrey Epstein. That we know, that's out there. We need to highlight that. But, you know, is this going to be a slow drip, drip, drip thing, Will?
You know, we'll have to see if the administration is able to close the book here. I mean, I love your caller's analogy here. Certainly the reaction was so explosive in the House, the idea that, like, we need to shut down this entire branch of government so that these files don't get out. I mean, it is striking. You know, I do think perhaps, you know, a lot of the reporters who have followed the Epstein case very closely, they say there's no evidence that Trump was involved in sexual crimes. But are there things that would be embarrassing, like the letter the Wall Street Journal reported on? So I think that's why they've been so eager, potentially, to close this case.
Now, the caller, Jose. Jose, you're on the air.
Hi. I was listening to your comments, and QAnon came up, and this is not QAnon, although QAnon has some say in this matter. But the Epstein scandal, for MAGA is not just for Trump, but it's for those who are on the flight logs, all right? That include Democrats, Republicans, high power tech oligarchs, all right? That's what they're focusing on, and the biggest one is Israeli Mossad compromise. What compromise operation was going on? All right, and there's a lot of circumstantial evidence out there. We just need to hone in on it, and Congress needs to, you know, listen to MAGA and release those documents, and, you know, come clean.
All right, Jose, thank you for bringing that up. Let's go to our guest, Will Sommer. Does that sync?
Yeah, I think Jose makes a good point here. I mean, first of all, I certainly wouldn't want to suggest that, you know, questioning what Jeffrey Epstein was up to and all of these unanswered questions is a conspiracy theory, because I think, or a baseless one. And in terms of the Israeli intelligence connection that's alleged, we do know secondhand that the Alex Acosta, who is the federal prosecutor and later Trump cabinet member who gave Epstein a really sweetheart deal, it's been reported that he said, when explaining why he gave Epstein such a sweet deal on his initial criminal case, that he was told basically, this guy is intelligence. You don't want to mess with him. We can't punish him that hard. And so that is sort of the source of the idea that Epstein was intelligence, as well as all of this unexplained money, stuff like that. And so people, I think, have jumped to the idea in part because his associate, Ghislaine Maxwell, her father was so closely affiliated with the State of Israel, that Epstein was a Mossad agent. Israel has denied this, or a prominent Israeli politician has. I don't think there's a ton of evidence beyond that. But again, I mean, there are a lot of unanswered questions here. And certainly, I think people jump to the intelligence idea, or the idea that he was some sort of asset or he was blackmailing people, because there's just a lot of weird and kind of unexplained stuff that surrounds Epstein and his operations.
So Donald Trump is using his old playbook of trying to create distractions. He released MLK files. He's accusing Obama of treason. He's doing all sorts of things like that. They don't seem to be working this time. Why do you think that is?
You know, I think this issue is so important to Republicans. The idea that this Epstein case is sort of the Rosetta Stone to understanding this, how the world is run and how the elites get away with things, that they really are reluctant to give it up. And also, to be frank, I mean, I think the president's explanations has sort of insulted their intelligence. I mean, we've seen Republican.
Well, he has exactly insulted their. He called them, you know, dumb and stupid. Do you think more that he tries these distractions, the more guilty he looks? That's the problem?
I think so. I don't think it's working.
All right. Will Sommer, thank you so much for coming on the air. It was the last minute. We had a lot of, you know, stuff to move around. We got you on. We thank you so much for joining us today. He's with The Bulwark, and his previous book is The Rise of QAnon and the Conspiracy That Reshaped America. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Thanks for listening. We'll be right back.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted by David Martin Davies. Tim Gutierrez is the show's producer. Additional production support from Steve Short, Ruben Garcia, Yvette Benavides, and Dan Katz, Vice President of News. The Source is made possible with support from the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation. Support for this podcast of The Source comes from Texas Mutual Insurance Company. They are committed to helping policyholders build strong and thriving businesses through their exceptional service. More at texasmutual.com/texansdeliver. Texas Mutual. Texans get it.